as you look at your community outreach, how's that shaping up? How are you building community around your farm, and how does community support your farm? We've got a sense now of community that's happening even within the farm because of the structure you've created. How does your farm interface with other farms and farmers, and how do you also connect with your various customer constituencies?
Oof. So we're all looking forward to a day where we can hug our friends and have more on-farm events. Obviously, this last year was isolating in that way. I used to organize a once-a-month farmer beer night where it was just sort of a casual invite. It was located at a different place every month. It would be at some restaurant or bar in the community, and it was an opportunity for people to just get together. There was no agenda. It was just, hey, let's just be a community. And that halted when it wasn't safe to do it anymore. And I'm very much looking forward to getting back to that. We would love to have on-farm events at the property. Like, these would be like dinners and CSA events. That's a community engagement.
Going back to your farmer beer nights, how did you organize that? What were some of the benefits that you saw from being an organizer of a social event like that?
Well, first of all, I kept them real simple. I was busy and didn't have time to make a big hullabaloo. It was an email list that I invited anyone who was in our community close enough that they'd want to drive down here and who considered themselves to be a farmer. And I let that term be as broad as anyone wanted it to be. I really feel like there's a lot of ways to be a farmer, and it's not my job to decide who's authentic or not. All I would do is pick a place once a month and send an email out, and folks would show up and socialize. Like I said, there was no agenda. You could hang out in the corner with a friend, or you could mingle and meet as many new people as you wanted. You could use it as a place to complain about the weather or to ask how other folks were doing. And I like that piece of it, leaving it kind of unscripted. I didn't have time for a lot of management, and I don't think there was need for it either. And in a way, it sort of self-selected. The people in our community who felt that the community was worth sharing with were the ones that showed up. If you personally wanted to be grumpy and not neighborly to your other farmers, well, you still got the email and you were welcome just the same, but we didn't end up seeing you as much, and that's okay too. That's always been my philosophy, is that if I'm at the farmer's market and I look across the aisle and there's another farmer and they've got the same products, the same produce, I really don't like falling into the trap of seeing them as my competition, because the real competition is to broaden the community awareness of the good food that we can grow. So the way I figure it is, if I have a farm that really grows lettuce, for example, well, and we find it profitable and rewarding, and if I grew more lettuce than I can sell, then it's my job changes from growing lettuce to selling lettuce. Like, that seems pretty obvious. And so I'm looking for more markets or more restaurants or more people that want a salad. Well, if I grow lettuce and you grow lettuce, and we together are growing more lettuce than we are able to sell, then our job is to get together and work on how to sell lettuce. At least that's how I see it.
Does the informal socialization turn into more formal business relationships, or do the informal friendships that you're developing lead to specific ideas that you can implement on your farm?
Absolutely. I think the lame way to put it is, it's not what you know, it's who you know. But I think a better way is, one of the farmers in our community, Richard Andres of Tantre, he describes it as social capital. I think it's so valuable to have a good network of your peers and your friends and other farmers and people in the food industry. But I also think that extends to your customers at the farmers market and your CSA members and just the person that lives down the street, because you really don't know where that connection is going to come from. And if you have a community of people that are rooting for you and that you're rooting for them, when they come across a new chef that's looking for lettuce, they're going to point them your way. And when you realize, like, oh, you know, my farm's really not the right fit for this opportunity, but I can think of two or three others that you should call right away. And if we all have that mindset, because like I said, it is really a small percentage of the food economy is going to local sources. So the competition isn't each other. It's really this awareness of how good this food can be, but also the willingness to go that extra mile. A lot of chefs are excited about local food, but they have this really easy global supply chain that is available to them. And so it really does take someone that wants to do that extra effort. And so making those connections. And I think the next frontier for small farming is finding ways to enter that middle space between a small market operation and this mega international supply chain globalization. And there's a lot of space between those two scales. But if we want to sell food, you know, to small institutions or to have basic processing, there's a lot of work to be done.
And we haven't even talked about online. Does the online thing make much of a difference? How does it fit in your organization?
This is a piece of it that I don't have a strong natural strength in, but the web is absolutely important. It's a piece of marketing. You know, we have a website that describes our farm and lets people learn about us and connect with us. We're also selling direct to consumer online. I've been doing my seed pack sales that way for a number of years, but when we first organized as the Green Things Farm Collective, when we joined forces, one of the goals right off the bat was to explore an online market platform for our produce. And we chose Barn to Door as a third-party software package. It allows us to make a market space basically online. And then COVID hit. And it was obvious that this is the perfect response to a terrible crisis was, oh, we really need to step back from our face-to-face interaction, even though that's so lovely to get to meet people. And how can we provide people with good food in the safest way possible? And so the routine for that became our crop manager would see what's in the field and they would update our online listing. Customers could shop online and then we would package it up for them. It was twice a week and they could pick it up from our farm stand or we'd take it to the farmer's market if we were attending. And that way, especially with the farm stand, they'd have a contact-free way of getting this produce. The only people who's handled it is us. There's no distribution. There's none of that. You know, obviously COVID was a challenging year, but we're already used to food safety and handling. So everyone's got to wash their hands. We're like, yeah, we've been washing our hands. So sure, we can still wash our hands with a mask on. That made a lot of sense to us. And I think folks really appreciated it. But it also works well for the bottom line for the farm. Attending a farmer's market is actually quite costly. It takes a lot of labor hours. And doing this sort of contact-free, like I said, it's not as intimate. You don't get to see people face-to-face, but it does sort of make sense from a business standpoint. For example, our friends that are in the restaurant world, they had such a rough year for a huge number of reasons, but one of them would be, oh, sure, you can reopen, but you know, instead of having 100 tables, you've got 25. Well, that throws their whole business model out the window. That's like the very basics of like how many people they can serve in a day, and it just doesn't add up in the same way.
So looking at your, you mentioned you had a farm stand and then you used this barn, I think you called it Barn to Door.
That's right.
Barn to Door sales platform online to get people. That still meant though that community was on site. I mean, you had people who were coming to you, which should generate some benefits just in the fact that you're not having to carry everything offsite to go sell it somewhere. Are there other benefits to having community members show up on site and on the farm?
We have a very good location. We're located very convenient for our customers here in Ann Arbor. And so it is very easy for folks to just come to the farm. The plan would be to have on-farm events. And if you have someone visiting your farm, it is a perfect opportunity to build a real relationship with them. We've got a small herd of beef cattle, and you can go check them out, go see them, or you could go for a short walk and just sort of enjoy the beauty that is the farm. And, you know, this obviously was a challenging year to do those things. So those were all kind of put on hold. But having routine farm dinners and having events, community events, the merit of the farm is not just the relationship with our community members. The merit of the farm is the produce that we're making, but it's both. And I think everyone benefits when you can meet the person that's involved in the food that you're eating. I want to attribute this sentiment to Elliot Coleman, but I could be way off right now. Maybe it's Joel Salatin. It's someone great. It seems really obvious, but if you have a gigantic and broken food system where the grower never has a possibility of meeting the eater and the eater could never look up who the grower is, suddenly, you know, whatever. What's the difference? And that's really sad.
I understand that given the uncertainties, it's hard to make plans, especially social ones. But is there anything that you could share about your upcoming vision of the future for community engagement, whether on farm or off?
I don't know. I might have to punt on that one. I think we're still figuring out the mechanics of this season that's coming. And we're not sure, like many folks, what this year's going to be like from a COVID safety point of view, which is the big piece of this. Is everything going to go back to normal magically? Probably not. So we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah. And at the same time, I've never seen as much interest in small farms and farming as we're seeing today. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, Eric. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Cliff.